We are in a series, and we are continuing in this series. The series is entitled Life and Death. And actually, I've had this series in mind for over 20 years, but circumstances in my life just did not come to a point, maybe, where I could have done this until the earlier part of this year, where I ended up almost being on a jury. And that, by the way, that trial is still going on, the one that I just missed, being on the double murder in Temecula. That's going to tie those folks up well into August. And so anyway, I just thought you would need to know that. I could still be on that jury. Life and death. We started 2 weeks ago, and we talked about you shall not murder. And we looked at one of the Ten Commandments. And we talked about what exactly does that mean and what doesn't it mean. And we talked in that message about the fact that, yeah, we can kill animals. And we looked at that. There's a difference between animal life and human life. And one of the verses in that section had to do with the fact that God provided animals for us to eat. We also talked in that subject about a just war. Is there any such thing as a just war, to have a war? And we talked about, yes, there is. To stop the spread of evil, to protect innocent people, there is justifiable war. And there will be killing in a justifiable war. We then talked about some subjects that are related around that issue. We talked about euthanasia. We talked about active euthanasia and passive euthanasia. We talked about ordinary means and extraordinary means, because you have to put all those things together when you have a discussion like this. And we looked at that passage in Samuel, the only example we have in the Bible of active euthanasia. And we looked at that and we evaluated that in light of how we are to respond and how we are to act in that particular area and subject matter. Last week, we enjoyed a time around the Lord's table. 4th of July weekend, and enjoyed seeing some pictures, which brought more to the discussion and the participation in the Lord's table. We had pictures that Chris and Colleen took from Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and we enjoyed that together and talked about that. We also saw a video, for those of you that weren't here, of VBS. Yay! It was a great video. We had a good time doing that. Part of fellowship, part of being a family. Today we continue. Today we continue with another incredibly difficult, controversial subject that touches all of our lives in one way or another. It has. Life and death. The title today is abortion murder? All right, can we bring that up? There we go. Is abortion murder? And what we're going to do today is there's really one key question we're going to come to. And really, the whole argument hinges on this one key question. And we're going to look at that question, then we're going to look at God's Word and what He says about this subject and about that key question. And then we're going to talk about some, what about cases? And we're going to look at three cases. And you're going to see that I still struggle with some of them, even at this point in my life, doing this for 25 years. And we'll talk about that, and then finish together with a statement on, is this actually murder? Is abortion murder? Okay, so how do we begin? Well, we're going to begin with a question. And on your outline, where do we go from here, Regina, to the next? It has to do... This is the crux of the matter, folks. The nature of the fetus. The nature of the fetus. When there is conception between sperm and egg uniting, what is that? When does life begin? Those questions. What we're going to try and do is just look at verses and talk about this. But here is the crux of the whole issue. The nature of the fetus. Is it human? In other words, when that union takes place, is there life? There were those who would say, no, there is not life. And then there are those who would say, yes, there is life. At the moment of conception, is that a human being? Or is it some other thing we might categorize as subhuman? That's the whole argument, folks. That is it. That is what it boils down to, simply stated. The nature of the fetus, is it human or is it subhuman? All right, what I'm going to do is on your outline, you're going to see that I've given you the reference, you're going to have to fill in a verse, but all the verses are projected, so we'll be able to look at those. And what I want to do is just take a walk through some different verses together in the Bible that talks about this particular subject. So let's go ahead and begin in that way. The nature of the fetus, is it human or subhuman? All right, let's start then with this basic idea. Is God involved at conception? Is God involved at conception? All right, so let's go ahead and bring up the first verse, Genesis 30, 22. And you'll see on your outline it says Genesis 30, and you need to put in the 22. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. You look at this verse. This is a woman that hadn't had children, wanted children. And we see this not only in her case, we also see this in the life of Samuel and his mother. And these women called out to God. God heard them. God remembered Rachel. He listened to her, and what did he do? He opened her womb so that she could have a child. Is God involved at conception? Yes, definitely. God knows about every conception. God allows every conception. And having friends, yes, Ruth and I have friends. I know I just came out wrong, didn't it? About 1987, 88, this is before we had children, there were a bunch of newly married couples, or young married couples, in Glendora, California. And I remember in that, we called it joint venture. It sounded like kind of an interesting term, huh? Kind of like a business thing. And that was the name of that class. It started with four or five couples, and within 4 or 5 years, we probably had 75, 80 people in that class. Joint venture. But I remember, and we would talk, because some of the couples were able to get pregnant. Some did not. And I remember just praying for couples and saying, God, I don't care what they have said medically. You are God. You can do this. God is involved in conception. And it's interesting to note that a couple of those couples, once they get started, they never stop. They have 5 and 6 kids. God bless them. In fact, we saw one of them. God bless them. Fill up that quiver. All right? That's the Old Testament term. Fill up that quiver. And we have seen some of those couples, and it's just neat to remember back those early days in children. Is God involved in fashioning the fetus? Let's go to Job, chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Job, little trouble here. God allowed Satan to come in. This is the only way this happened. God allowed this to happen, to test Job. Satan said, nah, if you allow me to do something, he'll curse you, basically. God says, have at it. And Job, the book of Job is really 3 cycles of Job going through immensely difficult things, losing everything, getting advice, and most of it being bad advice. And at times he just felt like throwing up his hands. And he comes, in by the time he's in the middle of one of these cycles that he goes through, he's almost had enough. And he says, God, your hands shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? God, you were involved at conception. You were involved in every part of me coming into this world. Go to the next verse. Remember that you molded me like clay. God is involved. There are no mistakes, folks. Sometimes we think there are mistakes. There are no mistakes. I've got a verse a little later that troubles me. There are no mistakes. Will you now turn me to dust again, saying, God, I've had enough. Next verse. Do you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? He's at the end of his rope. The analogy of the day would be those are the foods that they used, and I'm just being torn apart, God. You created me. Are you going to destroy me now? And he really, really wrestled with this. And he suffered with that. Job, chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Is that the last one? I believe it is. Go ahead to the next one, Regina. There we go. Psalm 139. This is probably the best known of verses. What I'm doing again, folks, we are going through. Is the fetus human? Is it subhuman? Is God involved? Psalm 139, one of the great psalms, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. God was there. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God is involved at conception. Next verse. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know that within your human body there are different systems. Just like a car has systems, we have a cooling system, a digestive system. It's amazing. We have a nervous system. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Next verse. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. And he's just drawing some analogies here. The secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth. The moment of conception. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Now this is amazing too. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. So from eternity past, folks, when there was nothing except God, your days were already ordained. Then you came into existence because of your parents. And now your days, he knows about them. He understands them. He is involved in them. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God is infinitely involved in our lives. Before conception, a lot of people make this big discussion about conception. Folks, forget that. Go back. Before conception, God knew about you. God was aware of who you are. God cared. And he doesn't make mistakes. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Next verse. We looked at this verse a while back. The point I'm making this morning here, Psalm 51:5, is that you and I, when conception occurred, we were conceived and we were sinful. I know that's hard for some people to understand, but that's what the Bible teaches. Surely I was sinful at birth, okay, when I was delivered, but I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me. In other words, it's a human being can sin. A dog can't sin. A door can't sin. A speaker can't sin. Only a human being can sin. The moment conception took place, you were a human being because you were a sinner. And I am a sinner. At conception. Not at birth, at conception. And really, we look at a baby and we think innocence. And yes, but no. No. And if you've had babies, you know that's true. I was sinful at birth from the time my mother conceived me. The Bible teaches you are a person at conception. One of the proofs it gives is that you are a sinner. And only people can be sinners. Think about it. Psalm 51:5. Next verse. Luke 1:41. Now we're looking at the picture when Elizabeth carrying who? John the Baptist meets with Mary. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. A baby can experience joy. It can experience joy in the womb. And I can remember when Ruth was pregnant, and I remember touching, and I remember in bed, she would slide over when it was kicking, when Deborah was kicking. She got me before she ever came out. Anyway, Deborah kicked me. Daniel kicked me. You remember those times? But also, what we need to understand here is that a baby can experience emotions, joy is what is being experienced here. A subhuman nothing can experience it. The Bible teaches that the fetus is fully human. Luke 1:41. Okay, one more verse here. Exodus 21, 22, and 23. This is looking at some of the Old Testament laws here. And here we have, if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely. So we've got two men fighting. There's a pregnant woman standing off to the side or who knows what. And she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, which is good. Maybe they ran into her. Maybe they fell into her and she gave birth at that point. But there is no serious injury. The offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. All right, so we have a fine system set up. Next part of that verse. But if there is serious injury to the mother and to the baby, you are to take life for life. In other words, if they're fighting and the woman is killed, you are to take life for life. But if the baby is hurt or killed, you are to take life for life because God views that child in the womb as life. You are to take life for life. One of the stronger verses that talks about this. All right, so what is our conclusion then? The fetus is fully human. That's what we went through. All those verses just to say the argument that is brought that it is not a biblical argument because all the evidence we have says, yes, the fetus is fully human. Human. If it's not, what is it? What is it then? What do you call something? A mass of something? No, it is fully human. It's growing. It sucks its thumb. It's a baby. It's human life. The fetus is fully human. And that's where you have to get to on this discussion. Now, in your program, there's a flyer. So recognizing that this church comes from the perspective that the fetus is fully human, what can you do today? Now, what we can do is this flyer tells us that there's a ladies' luncheon coming. And that is July 30th. And there's going to be a speaker or a representative coming and sharing about the pregnancy center here in Lake Elsinore, talking about what they do, what their ministry is. And so they are concerned with helping the community, providing alternatives. And so what the ladies are going to be doing is having that lunch. And so you can be involved in helping this ministry. Flip over to the back side. The Pregnancy Resource Center. They have ongoing needs for things. They help many families. And especially during these economic times, they've widened the range of possibilities. But you can see all the things that they have here that they can take, and you can donate and help support a ministry that helps support families and children and does ministry in that way. They have a website. You see where the address is in the website. So I got on my motorcycle this week, my DR650, drove down there, didn't get hit by anybody. No, I don't. So if you go to Jack in the Box down here, you pass the high school. You go to Jack in the Box and you turn left, and it's just diagonally from Jack in the Box is where this center is located, just to give you an idea of where they're at. And they have needs, and they have ways that you can help, ways that you can support people going through these times and families that are just frankly going through difficult times. And we wanted to give this to you as an option and as one alternative to being involved in what is taking place. So you can do that. The other thing Ruth and I did last Sunday afternoon, we don't normally do this, we both got on the internet, or actually she was on the internet, I was watching golf, and we looked up some numbers about abortion. The numbers were staggering. That I was aware of some of this, but folks, Roe versus Wade, 1973. How many babies have been aborted in 50 million babies. Folks, let me say it again. 50 million since Roe versus Wade. You wonder why God doesn't just smite us as a nation. 50 million. The population of the United States is probably 400 million. Somewhere, I'm close, I'm not exact. 50 million, folks. That calculates out, and Ruth and I actually had to go to two websites to confirm this because we could not believe some of these numbers. 50 million. How many is that a day? 3,300 babies a day. I looked at Ruth, I said, that cannot be right. She said, I'll go to a second website. The numbers were very close at the second website that we went to. 3,300 babies a day. That is three every minute. Three every minute. And a lot of us, including myself, aren't even... I mean, we understand this is going on, but we don't have the idea of the impact. 50 million. 3,000 a day, three every minute. I mean, you wonder about the heart of God. You know, you think about our hearts, and certain things move us. After seeing all those verses, think about the heart of God. Is it broken? I'm sure it is. God could come in and call 10,000 angels and destroy everything. You wonder why he doesn't at times. But he's a gracious God. But you think about this. 50 million. 3,300 a day. 3,300. It's overwhelming. Something else bothers me beyond that. I wish somewhere in the Bible that it says the fetus is a human being. I wish it said that somewhere. It really doesn't. And I wish the Bible at some point said something about abortion. This is going on for a long time. This is not just a new event, folks. This has been going on for thousands of years. And I wish the Bible said something about it. It doesn't. All we have is the evidence that we can look at. I wish it did. All right, let's talk about a couple of case studies. The first one is this. What happens in the case where the life of the mother is in danger? All right. What this is on your outline, I think I said, but what about, and the first thing is, the life of the mother is in danger. All right. Again, the scripture does not say. This is a hard one. So here you have the situation where we have a mother who is pregnant and there's something wrong so that her life is in danger. Possibly she has other children. What do you do in a case like that? That's a good question. What do you do when the life of the mother is in danger? Well, probably where I'm at in my life at this point to try and answer this question is to look at it ethically. In this case, in order to protect the life of the mother, especially if she has other children and a family and a husband and whatnot, to consider this the lesser of two evils. There are many different ethical systems. When you study ethics, it's fascinating because they set up a graded absolutist. A conflicting absolutist. They give you all these scenarios when you study this subject. But when the life of the mother is in danger, for me at this point in my life, I would consider the lesser of two evils and take the baby's life to save the mother's life. That is a tough question, folks. Let me tell you, that is a difficult one. I don't enter into any of these next three questions. It's where I'm at. And I believe that you would save the mother because you have other children involved, you have a family involved. And if you had to choose between the two of them, I would take the mother and save the mother's life. Not all taking of life is murder. Okay, in the case of capital punishment, when we take a life there, it's not murder. This is a tough statement. Abortion in the case of saving a mother's life is not murder. It is the lesser of two evils. I have never faced this in 25 years, and I hope I never have to face this. But if I did, this is probably what I would advise. And it's a tough one for me to advise, but that's what I would do. What you need to do is you need to pray about it, and you need to search the scriptures and come to a conclusion about this also. But if I get put in that situation, that's what I would do. You may agree with me and you may disagree. That's fine. I understand. But you need to think through the issues and come to your conclusions biblically, and it's a tough one. All right, how about the second one? Second one is this, rape. I told you these were not going to be easy questions. Rape. All right, again, in this case, I have done this 25 years. I have met with many, many, many pastors, and I have yet to come across a pastor in that period of time who has dealt with a case of rape and having to deal with do we keep the baby or do we not keep the baby because of rape. I've never dealt with this. And again, this is an incredibly difficult case. We go back to some of the earlier verses where God is involved in conception. Well, yeah, but does rape involve conception? It does. That's a tough one, folks. That's really tough. What if it were your daughter, gentlemen? Mothers, what if it were your daughter? What would you do? She was raped. And conception occurred, and a life was growing. Some would say that's still God, it's still conception, and go all the way to term and deliver. And I totally respect people that would take that position. I do. Some would say, I can't handle this, my daughter can't handle this. Tough stuff, guys. I'm not going to give you an answer on that one. Let me tell you, this is not easy. And don't ever think it is. It's different when you're sitting across the front room, you're sitting across the desk, and it's human beings involved. And seeing this kind of a scenario. I have yet to see this play out. I hope, by God's grace, I never have to deal with that. But there are people that deal with that. You need to figure out how you are going to approach this if that happens. And let me tell you what, I would respect you either way. That is a tough one. And again, you might disagree with me, that's fine. But it's a tough question. The third one is this. What about a child being born deformed? A child being born deformed, where we have the means to determine this. So you find out that something potentially may be wrong. Well, yeah, we're going to abort that child. We're not going to bring a child into the world like that. That would be one position, one view. And if you've heard some of the stories of some of the amazing people that came into the world that came in and in one way or another were deformed. And see what God did and how God has used it. All right, there's a verse here that you need to know, and a verse that bothers me. It's not because I shake my fist at God. I don't do that. I just say, God, I struggle with this one. Let's bring up Exodus 4:11. In Exodus, we have God going to his two key guys saying, you're going to be my mouthpiece. You're going to go to Pharaoh. You are going to lead my people out. And there's back and forth with Moses. I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't I can't do this. And eventually we know Aaron was the spokesman. But God speaks in Exodus 4:11, and he speaks directly to Moses. And the Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" And I take this verse in thinking about a baby coming in with some of these qualities. And I say, God, how can you do that? And I say it with respect. God does what he wants to do. And God is in charge. And God is sovereign. Is it not I, the Lord? An amazing verse, a difficult verse. And I believe abortion is wrong here. We know something potentially may be wrong. We don't know what. No. I believe it's wrong here. So what is my conclusion? This is where I'm at 25 years of pastoral ministry. Since the fetus is fully human, an abortion is murder, except where it is a lesser of two evils. And the only case where I have come to is the life of the mother being in danger and taking and preserving the mother's life over the fetus, the baby. What I want to do in this series is give you a starting point. I'm giving you verses, giving you a starting point, giving you things to think about. And this is where you need to grow, and you need to walk with God, and you need to determine where you're going to come out on some of these issues. And you can wrestle with them, like I have wrestled with them. Next week, the death penalty, another very controversial subject. Should we kill the death penalty? We're going to look at the Old Testament view of the death penalty. We are also going to look at the New Testament. Then we are just going to draw some conclusions about capital punishment and should we keep it or should we not have it. And then I am going on vacation and I'm going to need it after doing this series. Bow your heads with me, would you? You know, this morning I've talked to you about a subject that is very difficult. And as your pastor, I want you to know I struggle. And I also want to just give you a starting point to be able to grow and to work through this on your own. There's other information out there that's beyond me. This was just to get you started. Bow your heads with me. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you are God, that you are sovereign. We know how you view life before there's ever conception. Then at the point of conception. Then at birth. And then through life. And then ultimately death. And Lord, we want to be sensitive. We want to be aware of your position on these subjects. And we want to do the right thing because it's what you would have us to do as your followers. Lord, I pray that this morning every person here would think more on this particular subject, that we would seek you, trust you, and endeavor to follow you to the best of our ability. Lord, we love you, and we recognize in being God, you have your will and your way. And we submit to it. And we love you. Thank you that we can give and we do that gratefully. Thank you that we can serve and we appreciate that. Thank you for the work in ministries, even outside of this church, that help promote life and the protection of life. In Jesus' name, amen.